Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that we have this privilege this morning coming into your presence with the Spirit of God, with the Word of Life, Lord. And you've given us help, Father, from the day that we received this message, Lord. You've given us help to grow in it and prosper in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that. We now pray, Lord, that more of the life of thy word be released more and more in the bride until they did come forth, Lord, and we be changed into people taken from this world. In the meantime, we pray that you'll fortify us with might in the inner man, that we may stand with this word against all odds, Lord, no matter what comes, whether it be life or death, it's a matter of live or die, sink or swim, it doesn't matter. Dedicated to your word, Lord, because you must be dedicated to something. And we know this is the only thing that has life in it, and the only one that word that you answer back to, so we're satisfied, Father, with what you've given us. We just pray, Lord, that we'll be more and more satisfied, more and more content, more and more at rest, more and happier all the time in you than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're hoping to close off this morning on the Jezebel religion. And yes, last night, we didn't get very far because we tried to bring a great deal of information concerning some of the things that Brother Branham said, especially the political factor within the church. Now, you recall that Brother Branham says in paragraph 100 on page 22, when God sends forth a message and tells the people, and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant, sends plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. So Brother Branham is telling us here that the message and the messenger will be turned aside, and of course then turmoil will follow, because when you do not receive whomsoever God sends, you're not receiving God. The scripture distinctly says, whosoever receives whomever I send, he said, receives me. And so when a messenger comes in the name of the Lord, vindicated, it is not just tantamount to turning aside God, it actually is the turning aside of God. Because he said, behold, I send to you prophets, wise men, and scribes, some you crucify and kill. But he said, others you just simply turn down, and you have nothing to do with me. So therefore, to turn aside the word of the Lord is to turn aside God. Now, people do not want to believe that. They don't want to believe it because, as Brother Branham said, the people have made laws by men for men. And so therefore, speaking in terms of the spiritual, he is saying that the church has gotten together, and they have decided what the word of the Lord is apart from God being in their midst. And God can only be in their midst when there's a prophet, because the prophet is God to the people. So, all right. And the next thing is, once the messenger is excluded, it means that he's got to turn elsewhere, because he doesn't have a hope to be with those that he went to. Just like the Bible said that he came unto his own and his own received him not. Then what did he do? He had to go elsewhere. So always you'll notice that the prophet has to go elsewhere. So Brother Branham could not do anything with the mainline denominations. He could do nothing even with the Pentecostals. So what happened? Well, he had to deal with people, as he said, ended up being with the four gospel businessmen, and even they turned on him. He already made an agreement with them, that is, in his own mind. It wasn't anything I think he said to them, except he told them this, which I'm going to tell you. Whenever they organize, then he has to leave them. Well, I remember the time that I got the book of the Four Gospel Businessmen's creed, and in there you had to be a Trinitarian, and they'd fully organize. So one day I had breakfast with Brother Branham on Speedway, I think it was, or Oracle, I'm not sure, in Tucson and Sambo's, and I handed him the book, and I said, read this, Brother Branham. He said, may I have it? I said, that's why I brought it. And in there was the actual statement that they have now organized, and they were Trinitarian, and this is what they endorsed. So Brother Branham now had lost them. So he speaks here of the ravens. Well, who are the ravens? I don't know. They're birds back there. People say they're nomads because they call them nomads ravens. I don't know. Brother Branham said they were birds, and we know that birds, a bird that can pick up anything at all could drop it. Like the bird may sneak into the smokehouse where they were smoking a little bit of lamb or something to reserve it, and raven pick up the lamb and drop it in Elijah's lamp. Who knows? We're not going to argue the point. Brother Branham said it was birds, so far as I'm concerned, is birds. But in this particular case, could it refer then to the people who supported him? Well, it could, but I'm not going to make anything of that either. It's just a matter of, I want you to know this, when he was turned from and turned out, there was somebody there to receive him, even though like Elijah, he didn't know who they were. And he had to come to the place where he stood alone, and he said, I, Lord, am standing all alone. And God said, no, there's 7,000 haven't bowed the knee, and they will be the ones that you are ministering to and you listen to. Then Brother Branham in the Visible Union, he started the message by talking to the elect lady. And he mentioned those across America by telephone hookup. He was speaking to them in the election. Now, the third thing, having turned, the message and the messenger way, they are one, which is the Son of God in a Son of Man ministry. Because the Son of God is the Holy Spirit. What, brother? That's Romans, the first chapter, verse 7, I think it is. All right, now in there, you will notice it says, in the last day they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. The Son of Man per se does not come down. What it is, God Himself, in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire, the same that appeared to the Apostle Paul, the same Spirit, I am Jehovah, that was in Jesus, the Father, God Himself, comes down. And when He comes down, it's in the form of the Holy Spirit, and the same ministry that was performed in the flesh of which the Father was doing, see, now is done here. So, when they turn from the Son of Man ministry, which vindicates the word that this is indeed Jehovah in our midst, they now turn to the Son of Perdition, which is the Spirit of the Antichrist. And he begins doing, by the genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost, the same as Judas did, these signs and wonders. And so they turn to him. And you'll notice, from that point on, under Reverend David Duplessis, the whole world begins to come into Pentecost. The Pope speaks in tongues. The Pope's niece speaks in tongues. Great men in the Lutheran Church speak in tongues everywhere. And now the Pentecostals are absolutely received. Now, when does any, do the world en masse receive anybody? When the life has gone out of it. So Pentecost has no life in it. You say, well, aren't there just a few? Well, how much wheat do you find in the chaff these days? Now, years back in my day, when I was a kid, we could follow the thrashing machines. And they would spit out the chaff, and down below would drop a bunch of wheat with weed seeds, tear seeds, and broken bits of wheat, and a lot of dirt. And, of course, I like that for my chickens just fine. And a lot of times the chaff didn't even separate, and the wheat dropped down. So when I'd go out there and I'd sack it up in gunny sacks, and my brother had a horse and a cart, and go around and pick it up, and the chickens had plenty to eat, and we ate the chickens. But you see, you don't have that anymore. There's the wheat is thoroughly threshed out of the chaff. And the Bible said he gathers the wheat in the garner, and the chaff he burns with fire unquenchable. And at this time of Israel, back in the homeland, what denomination leads the field? Pentecostal. I'm not trying to throw off on them, it's just a historical God-given truth. So now they have to turn there. Now, as they turn to the Son of Perdition ministry, which is Judas, which is started back in the time of Cain, which is Batikain, which is the house of Cain, they have turned back to the harlot. And the mother and daughters are back together. And when they are back together, there is only one place they can turn against, and that is Elijah and the people of Elijah. So, undercover, the Antichrist, who has been exposed to us, is not exposed to those people. And the Son of Perdition ministry has all these people completely fooled. There is where God has sent strong delusion, because He sent His Spirit upon all flesh in producing signs and wonders in these other things, which merely follow the Word. But they turned down that which preceded the Word, which was thus saith the Lord, and the indication and vindication of a prophet, that means they are without Word. When they are without Word, they are without light. And I'll show you that. The life is outside the church. Okay, we covered that last night. Now reading on page 23. Watch. Elijah stayed up there until God moved him. Stayed up where? In the wilderness. Which means separation from the Christian body, the same as Christ suffered without the gate. And Brother Branham preached a sermon on that, standing in the gap and without the gate. So he has to take his stand, and the people who devoted themselves to this word supported him, and they made the meetings. And they'd come from all over America and perhaps some places around the world. So he stayed there, he said, until God moved him. He had no revivals. He preached and not against anything. He just stood up there with God alone out in the wilderness. Because he was a wilderness man, he was raised in the wilderness. So was John raised, and Brother Brandt speaking of himself too, because he loved the wilderness. So he's talking of the fact that his isolation was in line with the isolation the others went through. But you'll notice, if you want to follow this through, where people are trying to say Brother Branham is dead and going to come back and this is going to be a big thing again, I want you to notice that John the Baptist was not thoroughly isolated in heaven or any place else. Neither was Elijah, neither was Elisha, neither was Jesus Christ. They merely had no use for him, and the wilderness experience to those people was an isolation. And you know, isolation is a very terrible thing. It's to be ostracized. And people will die and civilizations will disappear when people are ostracized. You don't even have to kill them. Many people have an idea that the Muslims, because they're an avid bunch of bloodthirsty individuals, hoodlums and renegades, like the thuggies of India, the devil-possessed bunch, they're supposed to kill a lot of Christians. Well, they did. But the actual truth that the Muslims destroyed the Christianity of North Africa by ostracizing the people so they had no part. And if you simply ostracize them and say, Johnny, stand in a corner, and he's going to have to stand there and not participate in the class, or Johnny, stand in the hall, and he can't be part of the class, then the first thing, he literally dies concerning the society he's in. He's in the wilderness. So he was ostracized. You can put it that way, and I'm prone to believe that's one way you can look at it. I don't want to, you know, put my neck on the block when I don't know. Furthermore, Brother Branham had a vision. And in this vision, where he was preaching and preaching, and the people got hungry, and they got tired, and they no doubt got bored. And so they went off to eat. And he said, people don't go, he said, because I haven't come to my second climax. But they went away anyway. And he said, but they will be back. And you notice that there was actually a dearth after Brother Branham had that great ministry that no one could duplicate. I mean, I saw him when he stood there, and like there was a person with death. And he said, come out of him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come. He didn't say, snap, snap, did you hear me, blah, blah, blah. He knew he hadn't come. Everybody else had snapped their fingers. Did he come? Did he this? Not Brother Brown. So he said it the second time. And he still didn't come. And he said, he'll come this time. And he just bent his back and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you deaf spirit, come out of him. And the guy looked all around. He could hear everything. Well, you see, that was great. The angel even told him, he made a sideshow of those things. See? Now, when that died down and discernment came, past the sight of the hands and all, that was intriguing, but you will notice the healings and those other things began to be depressed. So now you have him with the sign of the prophet. You find the word of God discerning every heart. You find the judge. You find yourself before the white throne. You find the split between the two spirits. And they walk right on. But who came back? Well, people like us. For the second climax. And what was the third pole? The big third pole? Not the healing of the children. That doesn't do anything. They just go out and imitate it. It was the bringing of the word vindicated, which they blasphemed and crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh. Therefore, Son of Man ministry means nothing but to copy. Vindication turned down. That which was vindicated is turned down. Therefore, the giver is turned down. Therefore, God is turned down. And he's outside the church. In Revelation 3:20, and in Colossians 3, what is it, 4, whatever it is, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, which Christ is the life, and he's the Word, and he's outside the church, and he's come down, in 2 Thessalonians 2:1-10, where is the church? It is completely dead. There is nothing left. The church has now come, whether you want to believe it or not, to Jude. So we'll read Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now this man here, he's been shooting off his lip and he didn't put everything in there. He said in there, they're sanctified by God the Father. I want you to understand, in John 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word is truth. All right, what's he saying here? He's not denying what Jesus said, and he doesn't have a fat lip like I just do that to make you sit up and take notice. You've got to understand what he's saying. He's talking about the word. And I'll show it to you. Beloved, when I gave all diligence right unto you of the common salvation, it was need for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. That's a revelation of God's word. Now, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, they turn down the end time once for all revelation, and there's only one once for all revelation, and that's Paul's, which you have got to be one with or you will be judged by the word that you turn down, which is also Christ. Now remember, it's Rhema Logos. Don't ever forget Rhema Logos. Don't separate them. You'll end up like that harebrained guy that tries to do it. For there are crept in certain men unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying, saying no to the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the Father and the Son. Well, have they denied the Son today in the Son of Man ministry? Have they denied the Son of God by turning down the word in the evidence? I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, you notice there's a whole bunch of people there that don't believe. He went down there, gave them a sacrificial lamb, gave them Moses the prophet, who said, there's a prophet based on me coming after me. I'm typing it. And there were a bunch of actual unbelievers who took up at that time with what was extant, which was Moses and the sacrifice. Now Jesus came, and what happened? People also were enamored, but they never made it. There wasn't anybody stood with him at the cross. And afterward, all the thousands and thousands, he only appeared to 500. That's, what's that? That's almost 15 times less than what, 14 times less than what the Elijah ministry went to, 7,000. One-fourteenth is all it was. So he didn't have very many. And now this time, it's going to be as it was with Noah, 8 souls. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, in the messengers, the angels kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the day, the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, you notice in here that it's the end time that all these angels, these spirits at the river Euphrates, and Brother Branham tells that in the scenes, were loosed. 200,000. All the spirits are allowed now to come down to the earth and congregate. And it's at this time their fate has been made known to us, because absolutely after the fire falls, these devils will all be imprisoned and they will not be loosed until at the end of the white throne, and then they'll be destroyed. See how the judgment is set in. You follow what I'm saying? White throne. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, chapter 1, 7 to 10. You see it? Brother Branagh said, Revelation 1, 12. The one with the wig on, there he is right there, the judge. The Ancient of Days. And what is the Ancient of Days? He brings forth his own son, puts him on a throne. So who's here? What is going on? It's already set up on earth. Armageddon is already set up. We're staring in the face by the Tuesday morning. I'm not saying it's going to be Armageddon. I'm saying it's set up. The seeds are there. Okay. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of the dignities. Now what are they? These are the ones that turn down the messenger and the message. They're filthy dreamers who defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak of the dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Well, why didn't Michael do it? Because he couldn't do it. He wasn't a prophet. He was only a messenger fighting. He never had the word of the Lord. It takes a prophet to stand up and say, I indict this generation. I don't pray for America anymore. Flashing red light of his coming and all those sermons. But these people speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, now that's Satan's Eden, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Where does corruption start? In the tongue. See, Satan lifted up himself and talked, and so did Cain and so on, the beast. Warned to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They greedily ran after the heir of Balaam for a reward and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. Now, what are the gainsayings of Korah? Hey, Moses, you're not the only one that's got something on the ball. Bless God, we can prophesy to you. Who is this Branham guy with thus said, right? Yeah. Us Pentecostals, hallelujah. Now, you come on. So, Brother Dale, they're good people. I didn't say they're good people. I'm sick and tired of good people. I've had my belly full. I'm right up to here. See, you got a mighty tall belly. I have. You're right. Right to the top of my head. Listen, they are spots in your feasts of love. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, whose without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And you'll find Brother Branham saying that this organizational husband is dead. These are twice dead. Now remember, John said this, the scribe, speaking for Jesus, the Roman Catholic Church, he would kill her children with death. Not by lions, and not by devastation, but by death, which is the second death, the deadness of souls, which means the lake of fire. Now, that's where they're all going. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh man, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which the ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now these are ungodly sinners, denying the authority of the word, The prophet coming, God having sent him, their murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, why do you think that Mikhail Gorbachev and George Bush are running the Pope? Because he's a big figurehead. Now, these men have already been warned. Gorbachev admits that his mother was a Christian. His grandmother took him to be baptized. Bush talks about some type of born-again experience. Don't they know when you want to consult somebody for help, you go to the church and pick out the lowest man in the pew? The man in the streets knows more than the president. Come on, it's in the Bible. Don't try to go against the Bible. Smarten up. You can't outdo the wisdom of God. That's the trouble. All but somebody wants to go to some cotton pick an authority. What authority? There's only one authority, and that's God. Do you think they're going to go to the Word? Do you think that George Bush can see the oil down there and they're starting Armageddon up? They got all nations represented, 99 nations involved, and Rome with 119 league gates around the world. They're all pulling for the Pope. Phew. Pope doesn't even need any money. All they got to do is put him in, you'll have it all. He's got it all anyway. He got the goon. But, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles by Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there'd be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And these be they who separate themselves, sensual, that's natural, going after nature, Satan's Eden, and not the Spirit. Now notice, they're separating themselves from what? From God. He's been put outside. They booted him out. Jesus never walked off on the crowd. They booted him out. Samuel didn't walk away from the crowd. Moses didn't walk away. There isn't a prophet ever walked away from anything. They're the ones that separate. And how do they separate? They'll blame you and me for separation like they blame Paul. You can't blame God and His Word. It automatically separates, but where does the separation come? From the people who don't want it. So Christ outside the church, there isn't any church that's got life in it. You say what you want. Now why do they walk away? Because of the Word. And Christ is the Word. That's why they're always used interchangeably. You'll never get Logos and Rhema that's not used interchangeably. All right. Now watch. He went to the wilderness, and there he was alone. Finally, the organization wouldn't do anything. He just had to move out, see? They threw him out. They said, you can't be a part of this. Wouldn't call him meetings anymore. God called him off the scene, took him out of the wilderness, and said, come out. They won't listen anymore. Come on, I'm going to throw my judgment upon them. Oh, yes, he'll be here one of these days, you watch. Now, Brother Branham used phrases like that concerning himself. But if he wasn't Elijah doing the work of Elijah, I want to ask one question. Who was he? Now, if he was a deceiver, he only deceived a few bunch of idiots like you and me. He's not even worth the name of deceiver. I'll be honest with you. Fat. He couldn't even compare that to Reverend Ike with his crud. Armstrong had him beat off the man. What nice building did Brother Branham ever have? Nothing. His church is still a dump. You know, really. That's nice enough, but it's nothing to it. Look at Armstrong's great church out there. It's going to be the nicest underwater auditorium shortly there is. The West Coast. See again. So what, you know, come on. What did you see? Nothing. He's not even a decent deceiver. You can tell, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, the man rings true to the Word of God. How many did Jesus deceive if he was a deceiver? Oh, what, you got 25 million Jews in the world? About that. And there's 25 million here in America. They're all Hungarian Jews, too. Millions of them. How many did you see? So you see, you can understand by the word here that it's like Sodom and Gomorrah and the flood. It rings true. A tiny, tiny minority. Now watch. Then after the days of his prophecy, what happened? Now listen. The church languished. The great terror Jezebel took them all into herself, gobbled them all up, took them, now watch, took them in herself and built the groves and everything else. Now watch. While we have a renewed word, they have a renewed idolatry. You follow what I said? They built the groves again, which were cut down. Now, you follow the history of Israel. Every single king that brought the people back to God, he did so-and-so, but he left the groves. He did so-and-so, but he left the groves. He did so-and-so, but he left the calf. He did so-and-so, but he left. And every single time, all through the ages, starting with Paul, error came in, and it followed all down through the ages. Every time there was a renewal. Every time there's something took place, a revival. But there was not a true restoration until the end time, and now there cannot be an error. But you notice what the church did. The church would not take its renewal or its restoration of the word, and so therefore idolatry took on its restoration. And the Protestants have gone back to Rome. And every single one has had the flaw of the grove and the altar and the calf, which was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Trinity, Godhead, and baptism. They're in idolatry. Now, the Pope can come on the scene with his stupid mitre and his stupid clothes and his stupid fisherman ring and everything. And the people, he wonderful, it's got to be God, he wonderful Father, Holy Father, Vicar. Holy mackerel. Can you stand such vomit and filth? Boy, if we don't get out of here, may God have mercy and shoot us or something. It's not that we can't bear it, but if look, God understands us because he's sick too. He's vomited already. The revival of paganism. I showed you last night that Muslim religion under Muhammad is sheer paganism. And they have merely named the former great god that they had as an idol, Allah, signifying God. Now watch. What are many black Americans turning back to? Muslim. What are Americans turning to? Hindu crud. What I told you last night is the truth. The British Empire had to do its level best with the missionary society of the world to quit the men actually raping little tiny girls because they wanted a sexual satisfaction that ripped the little kids up and destroyed them physically and mentally. And even when I was a kid, they were demanding women would lie upon the funeral pyres their husband and be burnt, called sati. Idolatry. Filthy, rotten heathenism. Listen, all through history, there's only been one true religion, the religion of Abraham, one true God. Amen. And he couldn't stand the children burnt in the fire. And he set up the proper sexual relationships. Condemned that which was filthy. And had a truth. Nobody but nobody is right outside those who truly worship Jehovah. And the most of them claim they worship him and they have no relationship whatsoever. Now you see where we stand this morning? You may die for it, but it's good to die for it. Live or die, sink or swim. We something to die for, something worthwhile. So the ministry has taken up their cults. They call us a cult, but they've taken up their idolatry as never before in Christ outside the church. Now listen, one day God called him out again. Here he came out. Listen now, don't get angry at me. I'm saying, thus saith the Lord. When he came out, what did God do? He sent him to a widow woman. She once had a man, a power over her head, but it took death to set her free so she could believe the prophet's word. Now this husband is organization, and he's already dead, twice dead. Now this woman, because her husband is dead, she can now marry somebody else. But that's what Brother Branham brought, the invisible union. How can the organization say they're married to God when they're married to organization? See? They can't do it. But they say, I'm married to Christ, and they're not married to Christ, they're married to the devil. You see, even as Adam and Eve were tricked into sin, so the human race, all of us, no matter what, except for the election, are tricked into worshiping the devil. Now, you know what happened down there in the garden? Eve listened to the serpent as he began to reason. Literally, he began to argue. What did argument ever settle? Argument settles nothing. If you want a real argument, the way to win the argument is bring your .45 and shoot the guy right between the eyeballs. I'm telling you the truth. It's no joke, it's the truth. When a man wants to argue, he'll stay in the position, is what, as they said, a man that's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. The Bible has no room for argument. Thus saith the Lord is final, whether you understand it or not. Wait until you do understand it, believe in it. Here's where I don't have any difficulty like a lot of people do, because they fuss over Brother Branham. Is he coming back? What's he going to do? Is this a prophecy? Are the seven seals open? Because he said this, he said. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't care if Brother Branham said Becky is a prophetess. I don't care if he said Joseph is a prophet. I don't care if he said Billy Paul's got a great spirit of sermon and could be greater than he. I don't care what he said. I'm not interested. I'm interested in this book vindicated. Now, that ties the knot in the cat's tail. And you can, this tape will go around the world. And Levi's taking his stand. Thus saith the Lord has nothing to do with a man's private life or his family. It's the Word. So, if you want to go and get tougher, gut tough, you do what you want. If you're not offended because you're not stupid. You've known me too long, and I've known you too long. Well, let's bring it all. I lay it all out here. It all hangs out in front. Come on. It's white throne, kid. Maybe you don't believe it. Your heart's open right today, and you're not going to hide one thing, because you're not hiding nothing now. And before God, I'm determined to hide nothing. I've got one hope. I stay with the Bible, Deuteronomy 18, within the confines of the Word of God. Brother Branham did not bring the Word of God. Paul brought the Word of God. And I don't see one thing in here about family relationships or events or anything else. I see only one thing. And if Brother Branham misunderstood the vision concerning his throat, it was not a bullet but a tracheotomy. That still's got nothing to do with the Word. Now, I said this, you guys won't be shaken. You'll be shaken down the road. Don't worry. Things will come. Oh, some of you have been around screwballs now. Maybe you're even in-lawed to them. Or outlawed. I'm not afraid to look in the eye and call your bluff. Kids, don't kid me for 1 second. I'm not afraid of a bluff. I haven't got much time to live. The way I felt last week, I thought I'd be out of here in a hurry. At least I'd maybe try to get out. Feel a little better today, so I'll shuck that bows out the window. Back here to pester you. What's thus saith the Lord got to do anything with except the word which is to a bride? Well, Brother Branham told me this. Brother Branham told me that. I don't care what he told you. I've told you what he told me, and I stand before God, I have no idea. But that doesn't make one thing as far as this word's concerned. Let's look at the word. What's the prophet all about? Word, 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 word. Infallible, revealed word. Yeah, that's so easy to understand. It's easier than falling off a log backward. All right, listen. When he came out, what did he do? Went to a widow woman. She once had a man power over her head, but it took death to set her free so she could believe the prophet's word. And Paul said he had to die. You notice that? She had a husband that guided her this way and that way in one of the schools down there, but during this drought, he had been gobbled up. Death took him. She was no more hooked in any organization, so she was ready now to hear the word of the Lord. Now listen, that's got to be now, because when Brother Branham comes back, it's too late. Find me scripture that proves different. You say, well, when Jesus came back, you see what it was there. He had this group ready. When he comes back, it's going to be the Jews, kiddo. Do we meet him in the air? Watch your scripture. Get your parallels right. You'll be out there in the boondock somewhere, dying in the swamp with the alligators and the denizens of the deep. She's no more hooked. She's ready to hear the word of the Lord. What have we been hearing all this time? When all the hoorah died down and all the things that were there, the glamour and everything else, and we suddenly came, what did this man come for? Word! Then let's get with it. So you put the vindication aside. But you don't throw out the signs that follow the word. That's why I've got sympathy with people who want gifts and things. I'm not against them. But hey, look, I teach. If you want gifts, you've got Brother Joe White. You can have a special session with him. If he needs to help, I'll try to help him. You go ahead and get your gifts and things working. Go ahead. I won't fuss at you. I'll help you. But this is my ministry, what I'm doing here. That's where I get my dander up at times, and I say, hey, this is my pulpit at this time. I own it. It's a teaching ministry. Nobody likes it. Goodbye, Charlie. See? I don't mean to be mean. You work for a boss. If you don't like it, you can quit. But in the meantime, it's a congenial operation. The boss is good to you. He pays you wages. You like to work. Same here. I feed you the bread of life the best I can. I think I'm accurate with what the prophet taught. Try to lead you right down the middle of the road. The road within the road. So that works out all right. Now, she was no more hooked. A woman, meaning the church, a widow, that her husband organization had died, and she was just barely thinking she was living herself. And God said, go down to her now, she'll hear you, I command her. In other words, there's confusion. The book is passed out. It's a sealed mystery book. Read it. He said, I can't. I'm not educated to do it. Well, open it. Hey, it's got a seal on it. I can't break that seal. In other words, what is going on? What is the appearing? Everybody says the appearing is the rapture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my foot. The appearing takes place before the rapture. Went on for years. The Lord descended with a shout, with a message. The Kusma, to put the church in order, to bring headship back, the marriage, the union, the word. Not just a renewal, not just a revival, but restoration. Walking to the tree of life. Right in our midst. Oh, listen, we're millions of miles beyond organization in their thinking. Oh, we think sometimes your little group that's so faithful and do everything you can to have a meeting, to try to show the people your heart's right and you want to get right. You think you're having a hard time? Remember, God's got his eye on you. Now, that's the way we feel ourselves sometimes here, a hard time, but listen, God's got his eye on us. You love him. I know you love him, or you wouldn't be here. There you are. Well, I love the Lord, hallelujah. And listen to some dog out there. Dog is a male prostitute. Filling his temple with corruption. Pay the tithe. See? To love God, you got to love this word. If you don't love the word, you can talk about all the love of God you want. Anything else you got is not going to cut ice, because the prophet said right here. He said, you love him. I know you love him, or you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't attend any such thing as what? This message that I'm preaching. He's got his eye on you, yes. And when he says he's got his eye on you, the prophet might as well take the rest of the scripture. He will guide thee with his eye. Now, what's the last moving part of the body? The eye. What's the eye? He is... you might call an apposition to the prophet. The last thing is the eye you see with, the next thing is the mind. So the prophet came, what do? You soak up the word. And in the mind, you keep changing and changing. And as you change, the life begins to kick out the debris. When you've got real life in your body, what does that life do? To signify life, there's got to be what? Movement. There's got to be ingestion. There's got to be elimination. There's got to be reproduction, or you're not living. Dead people bringing forth dead. Only the living word, Christ himself, can bring forth that life. He said yes. And when he did, her husband had died. Her organization died. Now she's ready for the prophet's word. When did you get ready for the prophet's word? You got ready when you found out these people couldn't prove what they said they already had proven. All right, so when the prophet came to her to the gate and asked her for a little water, she went in to get it, and he said, bring me a morsel, a meal. That's a meal, ground up wheat or something. And she said, as the Lord lives, I don't have anything but just enough. In other words, this is all that I've got. See? Now, it looked that he was sent to take what little she had, but it was vice versa. The organization thought that Brother Branham wanted to take away something from them, exactly as Israel did when they thought Jesus was going to take away their place out of the sun. And they said, it's better that one man die than the nation die. Get rid of William Branham. He's a troublemaker. Get rid of Moses. Bless God, we can prophesy too. And Balaam said, hey, I can stand in his place. I got prophecy, bless God. But he didn't have the word. That's what I said a while ago, Brother Branham. Anything he said concerning his family, you and me personally, I don't buy it on this grounds. I can buy it, yes, in the sense that he's an honest man and a good man and doing his job, all those things. But I cannot superimpose it upon this word, inject it, or refuse the word for what was said. I only have one thought in mind, this Bible. If you think I'm crazy, I'm crazy. But that's the way I run my life, and that's the way I would prefer that you did it too. You can do what you want, because I'm not your boss. Now, to give up our thinking is to get more than we give up. I told you more than one time, I looked at sermons like the perfect faith, statue of perfect man. And every time I read it, I would get sick. I just cringe inside and I say, well, forget it. Then one day I said, hey, bud, you better face it, because you got to face it anyway. And you might as well face it now as later down the road. So I said, now, God, what is the prophet saying? And when I sat right down to study, he was not saying what I thought he said. He took only the dross and the corruption, the vomit, the filth from me. And I got back more than I thought I could ever have. I still marvel at who is this Melchizedek. When I first approached it and heard him preach, I thought, there you are. I didn't like what it. Hey, can you honestly take real honest to God self-criticism what a guy's really like without being a puffed up jerk or a toad filled with buckshot? I thought, without really thinking it, is Brother Branham in some kind of a rut? Does he got to preach this kind of a thing? You know what I mean? I was arrogant. A little puffed up myself, not quite a bit. A little bit insulted, as it were. Get into the sermon. 100 years now, I'll never understand it all. And opened up like nothing could open up the truth. See what he's saying? Look, don't be afraid to take the word. It'll purge you. You eat certain food, it'll purge you. Fruit in the morning is a cleanser. Vegetables will build you. That's right. And the medic will make you vomit. And better we vomit than God. See, give up the vomit we've been trying to ingest it or destroy you. I'm going to tell you, a buzzard may be able to eat carrion, rotten meat. Swallow it and regurgitate it for his babies, her babies and his babies. They don't die, but you try. You eat this vomit, which is partially digested food. Not the real vital truth that will sustain you. You will die of ptomaine poisoning. When she was willing to give what she had to the support of the word, God fed her. And if you're willing to give what spirit you do have, what spirit that God's given you to support the word, then God will keep you alive. Now, there is the truth today to this congregation. If you maintain not a haphazard, not an indifferent, but a vital interest in this word, you will live, but sit here and sleep, you will die because you're already dead. Well, Brother Bailey, I got to step late tonight. Go ahead. I got my job. Go ahead. I got my grandkids. Go ahead. Well, I got this. Listen, years ago, when I was a kid, the farmers never even put a mowing machine or a combine out in the field on a Sunday. Doesn't matter what you do today. The better the day, the better the deed. The quicker the dollar, the better the dollar. Fun, fun, fun. Merchandise, merchandise. Isn't that what it says in the book of Revelation chapter 17 and 18? Busy, 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 business, 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 business. They had brew laws at one time. Tell me, would it hurt anybody to go back to brew laws and honor his resurrection again? It's too late. It'd only be some kind of stupid will worship anyway in the mind. It wouldn't be God. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Branham said. Oh, glory to God. Do you see a church? Don't think I'm beside myself. I'm not. But what you've got, what little you do believe in God. Now watch. What little you do believe in God. What faith you have got. Place it on the Word, not an organization. Put it in God's Word. He'll keep you alive. Why? Because the life is in the Word. The words I speak are spirit and life. Vindicated. She was ready then because she couldn't before. Because they wouldn't let her. See, she was hooked. But now she's ready. Will you receive it? God sent a prophet her way. Will you receive his word? Will she receive this prophet? Yes, she did. And he told her, said, now, what little life you've got, place it in here, bring it to me first. What does that mean? Hey, look, you have a residue of understanding of the word woman because you're an Israelite. Church, this is it. You bank on this. But look, bring it to me to check it out. See if you're right. Then I will take what little bit you've got right. And that's all she had was a little bit. And he said, when you put it with this, I will breathe upon it, the Spirit of God, correcting it. And you will have more than sufficient, because a life, brother, sister, doesn't depend on the material. The life depends on the stream of life itself, and it can take a material and bring it to it. See, science is all messed up. They say, oh, hey, hallelujah, we found protein on Mars. There has to be life on Mars. That is a lie. It's been proven for hundreds of years that it's got to be. There's no such thing as spontaneous generation. If there is, how come we don't see some mutations? And something start from nothing. When you were a kid, remember? Oh, you wouldn't remember. You didn't even have horses. When we were kids, we had troughs, and we filled the water with trough for the horse, and we take a hair out of the horse's tail, and we put it in the water, and we say, now see, it'll turn into a snake. And we watch, and pretty soon mucus and slime begin to form on the thread of hair, and that way, well, it looks like a snake. Well, I better stop it in its evolution. We do crazy things like that, you know. Spontaneous generation is absolutely stupid. And yet the scientific world is depending on spontaneous generation. Then ask him flat, hey, is there such a thing as spontaneous generation? No. Well, then how do you get evolution? Well, he's vindicated. Where's your dust of the Lord? No such thing. Where's your? You're dealing with idiots. Consummate idiots. You know, if you want truth, you got to go to the little people. You can't go to the big shots, the big swellheads. There's no use. There's nothing there anyway. Now, what happened to this woman? When the rest of the world was languishing and dying in hunger, she and her children and her household all ate 3 good meals a day. Why? They were applying the token. The token is the visible of the manifestation, or what you take instead of the invisible, which you do have by reason of faith. Now, what do we got? I never saw the pillar of fire. I never heard God speak out of a burning bush. I don't have to have that. I never saw the ring of angels. I never saw the pillar of fire on the wall. I didn't see any of those things. I don't even care to. I'm not interested, really. I'm interested in what they meant to us, which is the Word. And when I have that Word, I am listening. I have all the totality of life for this hour, which will end in immortality. What else does the person want? See? Now, divine revelation of the Word. I hope you see it, friend. Vindication. See why I said the other day down in Houston, I never realized the power of revelation until just a few Sundays ago in this church here. A vindication. It's everything. Like Brother Branham said, I have heard, and I have seen now, and I have heard, now I see. And that's it. What went on? He stayed there until the famine was over, living with this woman, this church that received him and believed his word. Now watch. He can't be away from that little tiny group. He's always with her. And he kept her alive, kept the church alive by the word of the Lord, because he said, thus saith the Lord. Now that's the whole key to it. Will Russia go for the oil? Thus saith the Lord. Is the spirit of Antichrist here, the son of man, son of perdition? Thus saith the Lord. We live by the fact of vindication, and remember, we live by God, and God is his word. And when that word is enthused by God himself in a logos form, we live it and we eat it and we are living. And you're living a new kind of a life, because this life now is going to, by the cells that are around it, transform those cells into an immortal body just like Christ. Now, we haven't got time to take the rest of the story, you know, how he came to a showdown with Baal. He'll do it one of these days, don't you worry. Well, he already had in Chicago. He had a showdown there, and the showdown was they kicked Brother Branham out. What more showdown do you want? When he comes stomping out of that wilderness, you watch what takes place. Well, what's he doing? I think he's just talking about himself. Not that he's going to do something he's already done. He didn't say, hey, you guys, let me tell you something, it's already been done. He had to come around behind him. What happened? Then when good old Elijah the prophet, a true servant of God, came to the end of his road, God told him one day, said, Elijah, you preached long enough now, you fought Jezebel and all her paint, and her paint, and that, you know, what is paint? Paint's a cover-up. Why does a woman paint her face? To cover up. Cover up what? Because she doesn't look too good about it. Because she looks like some old barn needs a fresh paint of paint, or dope of paint. Because she got these wrinkles on. Oh, she's going to rouge up her cheeks. Look, I got that. I got a little bit of youth, you know, you cheek. Paint is a cover up. So the church has to cover up. What's the church's cover up against Brother Branham? Oh, he doesn't believe in the Trinity. Well, which three gods did you see? I want to talk to one of those guys. We had this goofy woman in Drumheller, Alberta. She had a vision of three gods. I said she saw the three bears. Oh, the people got mad when I said it. They thought I was sacrilegious. I was being kind to her. Three gods. She was a big god, the middle god, and little god. That's right. The big god is the Father. The next one was the Holy Ghost. The third one was the Son, as far as I recall. That's Goldilocks and the three bears. I tell you, I got a sense of humor, and God has too. I don't think he got angry at me. I hope you enjoyed my joke. If he didn't, well, I'm not going to feel too bad because I don't see any judgment of Scripture from it. Because God's not three. So she couldn't have a vision of God. What's she have a vision of? Who knows? Who cares? I just dubbed it nicely for her. So they dubbed me up. So she says, this woman's got a cover-up. Yep. And the cover-up that's going to hit the earth, and they don't know it, is the church has gone into politics and economics. Now he said, Elijah, you preach long enough. Come down to Jordan. And here he goes down to Jordan. There the old muddy stream comes down yonder, chilly, icy water, like every other man to face Jordan, which is death. But when this great servant of God walked down to Jordan, his son was walking with him, the gospel son. Oh, yes, he was his son, my father, the chariots of Israel and horsemen thereof. In other words, he's telling you something. Elijah went down there. Who was with him? His children. What did the Bible say? You are the children of the prophet. I'm going to ask you a question. Whose children are you of? What prophet? William Branham. Well, that makes some people pale, doesn't it? They kill the children. Well, now, ha. Well, what about the day of Jesus? Come on. What about the day of Moses? See, they can't answer you. They have a cover-up. They have a subterfuge. They are covered by lies. And the veil of lies has been rent from top to bottom. Now they're exposed. His brother Branham said, we know the devil's lie. You bet. Now, when his son walked arm in arm down to Jordan, he's watching dad leave that morning. When he got down to Jordan, he reached around, got the robe of power off his shoulder, said, Death, you can't do anything to me. And he struck the Jordan. Get away, I'm crossing over this morning. What happened? She moved back and dried like powder. What was that old prophet doing? He's looking across Jordan. He knew there was a chariot waiting for him over there with the horses. He was going to home. His work was over. His son in the gospel was taking his place. Now, of course, someone might think Brother Branham passed his mantle to somebody else. That's a lie. Brother Branham categorically said that our Joshua is the Holy Spirit himself. The pillar of fire takes in the millennium. There's no gospel. There's no mantle to pass over. What you see now is there are sons. When the prophet is gone, remember, there's no prophet that didn't die outside of Enoch and Elijah. And we know of none others that are going to fill that mold. There's no mention in Scripture to my knowledge. Brother Branham died. He's gone away, but he's left the bride, which is also the Son of Man manifest in human flesh. And he was a part of it, which did the miracles and signs and wonders. When the hand does it, the body does it. And now that one that was our head in the physical, who put the church in order physically as a prophet, the Word is here and the Holy Ghost is here living in that Word, living in us. And we will continue and we will not have signs that precede the Word, but the Word of God alive will give us the signs that follow the Word if we believe. But remember, put that Word first. If you begin saying it's the Word and, then you deceive yourself. It is the Word alone at this hour, but there are the others that have been put on the shelf, as it were. In other words, the importance is not there any longer. That is the importance. What is it? Here's a Chinaman. the Chinaman, he's going to bury his uncle. So 1,600 Chinamen come with great big pots of stew and chop suey and fish and lamb and chowder. It's all put down there. And the dead man is dead. He doesn't eat it. Because he's dead. See? Now look at here. We're living people eating the Word of God. And when you're living, you will have those things that pertain to life. But the point is, you've got to be alive to do it. And the life is only in the Word. And you're only alive if you're in this Word. Because the prophet said so. Otherwise, you're an organization. You understand what I'm saying? White man gives flowers. Who come and smell the flowers? You've got to have life to smell the flowers. So the life is what counts. Do we have the life? Yes, we have the life because the life is in the Word. Christ in the Word won. Okay, death, you can't do anything to me. Struck the rear Jordan. Get away. I'm crossing over this morning. What happened? She moved back like dry pot and so on. Now, I was coming home the other day out of the West. This comes to my mind. I turned the radio on. I turned on and I heard spirituals out of Del Rio, Texas. A man made a talk about an old colored Negro man fixing to die. He'd come down the river. Them golden slippers I'm going to wear to walk the golden street. This old Negro had preached all his life. The only thing he could think of was comfort that he had was his old banjo that hung on the wall. He sat out in the cotton bales and played the hymns, rested himself from his ministry with the old banjo. That was the way he had to relax. He said the old bobtail horse that he used to drive over will be down there with the chariot. I was thinking of them. He said, oh, them golden slippers, and I'm going to walk, wear to walk the golden streets. Now, that's just a story. When he got through singing, I turned the radio off and was going there holding the wheel. I know it's right. I got to come down there too. Whatever gives me comfort. He's got to die. Where do I find comfort in the wilderness? And I said, I got a little old rifle called a Blondie. I hunt with it in the fall of the year. It's a .270 model 721 Remington. A man, a brother, gave it to me in California years ago. I've hunted it for years and years. What comfort it's been. Because I know it's a good shooting gun. It's my comfort in the wilderness. Then I thought about my vision when I got over there and saw all those people. I heard something nicker. And there came my little prince, my little saddle horse, and put his head upon my shoulder. I thought, yep, one of these mornings, I'm coming down to Jordan. And the old .270 that I used to use hangs on the wall. Haven't had it down away last fall. That's a little bit poetic, but it's the way you put it. That little saddle horse that I used to ride, God will have hooked to my chariot on that morning when I come down to the river. Now, Brother Branham said that. Is that an actual infallible source? It could well be. Somebody said, well, Brother Branham, you talk about horses. He said, yeah, your horses, we're going to ride white horses. He said, where do you get there's no horses in heaven? See, the guy was idiot. He said, I don't know that could happen. I'm all for it. I don't have trouble with that because there's horses in the Bible. You mentioned. Come on, riding on white horses, right? Okay, then that's his white horse. He said, what white horses? What's your business? Well, I won't think I'll go then if I don't have my little pink pony. Well, forget it. You ain't going. My God, have pity on stupidity. I'm getting senile, but I'm not stupid. There's a difference. I once had a brain. I've lost it, but they never did have a brain to lose. Why argue? There's no argument. It's thus saith the Lord. The appearing has taken place. The pillar of fire is here. Vindication is finished. That the Word is everything. What's the argument? There isn't any argument. I never heard anybody arguing about the food out there. This is some of the best food in the country. We serve out here. I tell people everywhere I go, I say, hey, you ought to see our girls cook. I boast about you gals. May the Lord have pity on you if you ever come and try to eat it. Because I boasted you so high now that if you don't produce, you only put me in the ground, you are going to be nailed in a casket by them. I bragged on the cooking. Bragged and bragged on it. And that's what we're looking at here. See? People just don't understand, you know, the things of Almighty God. They have their own understanding and own ideas, and it will not substitute for reality. It won't do. So we come down to the end time here. He said, that little, I want to just finish and forget about these other things. That little horse that I used to ride, well, I've hooked to my chariot. I'll be standing just across the river there. God will send him. I saw him the other night. He'll be hooked to my chariot one of these mornings. I'll be gone climbing up through the clouds. And then he said, we're going to pray. Now, I'm not going to read too much more. It says down here, he said, how can we sin under such speaking, anointing of the Holy Spirit, knowing that the Holy Spirit tells me your condition, and fail to raise your hand? People didn't raise their hands even. It shows it's time for the wilderness journey. In other words, he shows the people flat. Look, you've turned it down. It's all over as far as you are concerned. There's nothing left for you. And when I go away and the people of God have been turned aside by you because you don't want us, remember, you go right to the Antichrist. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? You go right to the Antichrist. Now, that's serious, isn't it? But you see, are you sitting on the fence this morning and say, hey, I really don't believe that's happening. There's a lot of nice people out there. You see why I'm sick and tired of nice people? A nice person doesn't admit to what is there. Will your nice people admit the tables are full of vomit? Will they tell you their baptism is Antichrist, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Will they call that of God? Or are they too smart to say it's the devil? Well, you know, we really don't know. Listen, stupid, read your Bible. Now you say, Brother Vail, you talk that way, you won't get many converts. Who said I want converts? Who said I'm looking for them? I'm looking for nothing. What do I want converts or anything else? I got one little job, I just preach, and I duck behind it. Sort of teach. And I duck behind it. From then on, it doesn't matter. Because I will not look after you. I haven't got enough time to look after myself. Hey, look. If God made the animals come into that ark, didn't have any trouble with him. He never had any trouble with the 8 souls coming in. And he had no trouble with anybody else trying to get in because nobody else won. And he preached 120 years and they wouldn't listen. Jezebel religion, brother, sister, started right with Nimrod way back there, predated by Cain, who went his own way, right in the face of God, in the midst of a divine revelation vindicated. He said, I won't go that way. I'm going to go my own way. Then turn right around and use the word of God. Ever since then, men have allied themselves with God, even in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and been spiritually bankrupt, twice dead, according to what the Word of God said. Now, we're going to call that the end. I'm not going to go into the prayer line. If you have any questions, you could write them down. We'll get to them whenever we can. In the meantime, this is the end of the series. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and thank you for your kindness to us. You give us what we have need of, Lord, and we have need of this which we've heard in this series. We know we need it to open our eyes to the truth because we know, Lord, so much of it is casual. And we realize, Lord, Brother Branham battled that same thing when he mentioned the fact that as he stood before us, he could go to Africa and just one thus saith the Lord, and not even that, but just the discernment by saying, you are so-and-so. You wouldn't even have to say, thus saith the Lord. He said it was enough to bring in 30,000 people to turn a nation upside down, almost literally. But he said, over here we've seen so much it's become casual. It's become commonplace is the word that he used. And I know, Lord, many of these things are commonplace to the extent that we have become casual, which I believe is almost the same as saying lukewarm. And that's going to be very bad for us. And we don't want to have this bad force. We want to be red hot, Lord. We want to be like molten lava that's poured out, rocks that are melted down. And you said, Lord, in your own word, that to Peter, he said, upon this rock, a revelation I build. And you, Peter, are a little rock. You're a little part of it. And we know there's nothing more adamant than a stone. But even stone can be melted. And when they melt, they have greater intensity than perhaps anything else could be. The sheer force of lava coming down not only has the flow and the strength thereof, maybe worse than the hydraulic forces of water, but has the burning quality also, Lord. And we know, Father, there's coming a day when we will be set on fire more and more with this word, and we would like it today, this very hour, to have more and more of that life of that word come forth. And there's coming a day, Lord, also when the white throne judgment and the lake of fire will take those other stones out there which have not a place. And they'll be turned molten, they'll be evaporated, they'll be taken away, Lord, annihilated, we believe the word is. But Father, we stand today with this living word that makes all the difference between resurrection and annihilation. one unto annihilation, Lord. It means the life that we have here. And that's what the prophet said. And Father, he told us, and we're glad that he told us this morning, even though it's 30 years later, to hear the word say, what little bit of faith you do have, and put it in this word, it's going to sustain you. And that makes our day for us, Lord. It makes our life. It makes us very happy to know that we don't have to contribute an awful lot. We just have to stand here with vindication and knowing it is true, that which pertains exactly to you and this word, O God. And so we thank you. We have what we have need of. Maybe it took us all these years since he's gone to realize that we do have exactly what we need of. We put it in that faith and trust there, and it's going to bring forth unto eternal life, even immortality amongst some of us who'll be standing here. Now, Father, again, we know that Brother Branham said, as it were, the Spirit of Christ here and in our midst, in that love of God, this sweet Spirit, such as in our midst, puts, as it were, the gifts of the Spirit on the shelf. But he never took away divine healing. Almost every single service he prayed for the sick. And so, Lord, we're looking for you this morning also, if any sick amongst us, to be absolutely healed and delivered by the life within your word, O God. If this life is building within us, then, Lord, we believe it's building unto immortality, which has to do with the soul, with the body, rather, not the soul, because we already have that germ. So, Father, we just want to thank you again now and praise your holy name that we've had this time to fellowship together. And go with us now as we go and have fellowship around the dinner table. And be with us, Lord, this week and the days ahead of us, that we may journey in faith to that end, knowing that we are part of that predestinated group, even as Elisha said, "My Father, my Father." He knew it, Lord. He was the son of the prophet, and we are the children of the prophet by faith. We're going over with our blessed brother as soon as he comes back and stands in mortal form. We give you the glory for this honor that you've given us, Lord. We give you praise for what you've shared with us. We cannot thank you enough. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we say it. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.